Morning. Today's daf in Tamura is Lamed. We are in Chavtes Amud Beis. We're about halfway down in the Amud. We are starting today with the words Ba'alev Achakach Nasna La Esnana Mutter. We're talking about Esnan Zona. This is the sugya that speaks about the topic of Esnan Zona. It's a pasuk in the Torah. It is in Parshat Kisese Perichav Gimel. You will find it. The pasuk Yates. Lo savi esnan zona mechir kelev beis Hashem lokecha lechol neder ki so avas Hashem lokecha gam shneim. That's it. That's the entirety of the pasuk describing the disqualification of an esnan zona. You'll notice, by the way, in the beginning of the sixth parak, which we started just a couple days ago in the daf, that was on the top of Chav Ches Manalev. So we went over numerous animals that are disqualified legabe karban. There were more than six, I think eight in total. Disqualifications that are mentioned in the first Mishnah. How many of them are actually articulated in the Torah? The answer is very few of them. Rovav, Nirva, Muksa, Nevad. So those are not mentioned in the Torah. Esan and Mechir are mentioned in the Torah. Kalaim and Trefa, not mentioned in the Torah. Yotzi Dofin, not mentioned in the Torah. All right, so I'll say it like this now. Of all the disqualifications that are mentioned in the Mishnah regarding what cannot be used as a karban, so the two that are actually Betherish, explicitly mentioned in the Torah, are Estan and Mechir. The other ones, so we already went through the Gemaras, drashas and various expounding of Psukim in the Torah that arrive us at these others. But in terms of Estan and Mechir, so the Torah tells us very clearly that you cannot bring them as a karban. With that in mind, so what is an Estan? So that has been, we started the discussion yesterday, we're going to continue the discussion today in terms of the very definition of an Estan. So an Estan, Estan Zona, so the word Zona we know, that's a prostitute. Although, even though we know what a zona is, a prostitute, what the definition of a zona in our context is not going to be super clear. And when I say that, I mean it's going to be subject to a machlokas that we're going to be seeing in just a short couple of minutes from now. But when it comes to a estan zona, it means as follows. A man hires a prostitute, he gives her an animal in exchange for the services of the prostitution. So this zona now wants to come to the Beis HaMikdash with this animal in tow and bring it as a carbon. She cannot. Why? Because this animal now has the status of a estan zona. Because this animal was used as exchange for prostitution, so therefore it is going to be disqualified to be used as a karban. That is Esnan Zona. Mechir Kelef, we'll wait till a little bit later on this morning. The Mishnah is going to open up a Mechir Kelef on Lamed Amad Aleph. We're going to get to that Mishnah about halfway through the daf. A lot of points of consideration that we've gone over so far in the Gemara and that we're going to continue to go over. So first of all, how exactly is that transaction working? Meaning, what exactly needs to happen in the transaction so that the animal is given the status of an Esnan Zona. So this is what we described earlier. Meaning, if he has relations with her, but the payment was not clarified that it was going to be with this animal, and the animal was given for the services, but it wasn't clarified that this was the animal that was going to be given, so the animal itself is not going to be given the status of an Esnan. It has to be that there is a clear understanding between the man and the woman that the animal is going to be used as payments rendered. When exactly does the animal have to be given? So it has to be given at the time of the bia. If it was given beforehand and it was not connected, it was not attached to the actual bia itself, it wasn't attached for the services, so this is what's called a batana. If it's given afterwards, and the Gemara doesn't say how much long afterwards, but let's assume a significant time afterwards, so that too is not attached to the bia, so it has to be given at the time. So this is these are some of the basic ideas that we discussed yesterday. We are going to go over the Braisa. Now the Braisa, Ba'alev Achakach Nasan La Esnan Mutter. If he has relations with her and he gives her the animal, at a significant later time, the animal now is mutter, does not have the status of an Esnan. V'atayin the Gemara quotes a Braisa, which tells us just the opposite. Ba'alev Nasan La Afilo Hashneim Asar Chodesh Esnan Asar. So this Braisa says that if he gives it to her at a significantly later point in time, 12 months later, that's a long time later, it will be aser, it will have the status of an Esnan. And that goes against the Braisa that we learned in the Amud Aleph. So Am Rav Chanan bar Rav Chisa Lokasha Had Amar Lahi Ba'ali B'Tlezer Had Amar Lahi Ba'ali B'Tlestam. So the Gemara says the difference is whether or not he said this sheep as opposed to just a sheep. And the difference between them, if you take a look at Rashi, B'Tlezer Hold the Yahaveh B'Shas Bia Chayla Esnam Yah. So when he says this sheep and he gives it to her at the time of the bia, so then this is going to have the status of an esnan. Tlastam, next Rashi, demishadle basar hachi matana ba'amahu vein esnan ela hamiyuchad b'shas bia. So it has to be specified at the time of bia, And if it was specified at the time of Bia, even though he didn't actually ship it to her at a later point in time, but that's going to have the status of Esnan. If he just simply said a sheep, and then only later he gives it to her, so this animal is not going to have the status of an Esnan. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Even if we're assuming that Telezdeh, he specified the sheep, but doesn't she have to do a Mashicha? Meaning again, the Gemara's understanding is that there has to be a Kinyan that's done. And doesn't the Mashicha have to be done? So the Gemara says, Bezona over Kochavim. So we're talking about a non-Jewish Zona. The Lokanya Mashicha. So the Gemara now is turning its attention to the method of payment and what exactly is a Kinyan. So here's what we know. When it comes to a transaction between a Jew and another Jew, method of Kinyan is going to be Mashicha. Now there is a machlokis amarayim between Rav Yochanan Meish Lakish whether this is a din d'oraisa or this is a din d'rabbanan. But for our purposes right now, here's what we need to know: Mishicha is a means of kinyan when it comes to Jew and Jew. However, when it comes to Jew and non-Jew, so the method of kinyan is maos, it's money. And over here, it's interesting, by the way, because there's no exchange of money; it's an exchange of services. But still, the Gemara is assuming that the exchange of services is equivalent to an exchange of money. So when services are provided and the sheep has been identified, this is the sheep, so that by definition is going to create the transaction between Jew and non-Jew. So the man's a Jew and she's a non-Jew, and services are rendered, which is equivalent to money, and the sheep has already been identified, so those services create the kinyan immediately. Good. So that is a way in which we can have the transaction being done immediately, meaning at the time of Bia. Ibai se ma'afil bezon Yisrael, it's going to kai b'chatzera. Or the Gemara gives another scenario in which we can have the kinyan occurring at the time of Bia, and that is that the sheep is put into her chatzar. So it's put into her chatzar with the understanding that her chatzar is going to be kona, but it's going to be when the chatzar is going to be kona. The chatzar is going to be kona when services are provided. So once the services are provided, so then the chatzar is going to acquire on her behalf. Another way of her being able to acquire the sheep at the time of the Bia. So the Gemara says, Hayav Islam Mikara. So the Gemara says, okay, but in the circumstance, that means he's giving it to her beforehand. And that doesn't really talk about the Braisa. The Braisa is speaking about a case where he's giving it to her afterwards. So how does that fit into the Braisa? So the Gemara says, Mikar Deshavila Potiki. So the Gemara says, when he gave it to her, he's not giving her the sheep. He's just simply saying, hey, this is going to secure my obligation. Meaning, you're nervous. You're nervous, I'm not going to pay you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a security. It happens to be that ultimately the security is going to turn into payment. Meaning, right now I'm giving it to you, but simply as security. And then when services are rendered, the security will be turned into a payment. So that's how it fits into our scenario. You see the term apotiki, you see that a number of times throughout Shas. Apotiki is not just I'm securing an obligation, but by specifying a particular object. In this case, the sheep, which eventually will turn into the actual payment. Va'amar la, im ad yom ploni yavin alach zuzeh mutav im lav tlebet nadecha. And the understanding is as follows. Look, I'm going to give the security now, and I'll pay you by a certain point in time. And if I don't pay you by that certain point in time, so then the security itself is going to turn into the payment. Okay. Adkan. That takes us now through how the transaction works vis-a-vis the payment. How do we know specifically that this particular payment, again, payment over here is in the form of a sheep, is going to be specifically for the exchange of the services being provided so that the sheep now has the status of an esnan? That part now has been clarified in the Gemara, and now we move on to the next point of clarification. We say that a man has relations with a zona, so the payment, the sheep payment, is going to have the status of a zona. And now when we say the word zona, so could we be talking in the most generic sense possible? Meaning let's use our language and the way we communicate. When we say prostitution, what's the relationship between the man and the woman in terms of prostitution? Transactional. It's simply transactional. Meaning he right now is paying for her services. So regardless of what they are to one another, are they forbidden to one another, permitted to one another, he's a single man, she's a single woman, it doesn't matter. Meaning the word zona could be understood in the most broad term imaginable. As long as it's a relationship that's built on a transaction, so then this is what's called being a zona. That's how we say it in our language. Right? When we say prostitution, we never talk about the nature of the relationship. That's one possibility. But there's and we'll actually, in the Gemara, there is going to be a Tana that subscribes to that kind of understanding. But that's not as far as the Gemara is concerned, that is not the conventional thinking. Conventional thinking is that when we're talking about Zona, yes, it's transactional. Yes, he's paying for the services. But at the same time also, the relationship between the man and the woman is a prohibited relationship. In other words, he's not allowed to be with her. And so therefore, there's a level of iser that comes along with it as well. Meaning, if he was a single man and she was a single woman, and he's paying for the services, so according to, I'm going to put this under the category of conventional thinking, this is not filed under being a zona. Now, it is certainly highly improper, highly immoral, and it is not, to say the very least, it's not kedushas Yisrael to engage in this kind of behavior, but we are really now just speaking from a strictly legal standpoint. It's not zona. It doesn't fall under the category of zona. And so what the Gemara now is going to clarify is what it has to be the nature of the prohibited relationship between the man and the woman so that this union, this transaction, falls under the category of zona. Okay. Let's see the Gemara inside. Amar Rav. Echad esnan zachar ve'echad esnan kol arayos aser chutz me esnan ishto nida. So according to Rav, what does esnan cover? Any prohibited relationship where it's one of the arayos in the Torah. And it could be, it starts off with esnan zachar. Man hires another man. So and it's not only prostitution, but it's for homosexual relations. Or kol arayos, for any one of the arayos in the Torah. So you open up in Parshas Achrimos and Parshas Kedoshim and you go through all the arayos. So if the relationship between this man and this woman falls under any one of those categories, which would be woman's married to another man, woman's a sister, woman's an aunt, etc., etc. Any one of the arayos in the Torah. So that means now that this relationship where he's paying for it now falls under the category of zona, so that the resulting sheep that's used for the payment is going to have the status of an esnan zona. There's only, according to Rav, there's only one exception, and that's ishto nida. His wife is a nida. A man having relations with his wife while she's a nida, that's one of the arayos in the Torah. Now, it's one of the arayos in the Torah. Now, it is a little different, or I could go even further. It is fundamentally different, in that although it's one of the arayos, and it's an iser kares, and in that regard, it's like all the other arayos in the Torah, but still with a nida, a man's mekadesh, a woman who happens to be a nida at the time, the kedushin, good kedushin?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Right? In terms of the chuppah, so good. So there's a debate amongst the Rishonim whether the chuppah's nida works or does not work. But in terms of kedushin, it works. A man has relations with a woman who's a nida, and they have a child. Is that child a mamzer? The answer, of course, is no. Child is not a mamzer. Meanwhile, with any of the other rais in the Torah, child's going to be a mamzer. So nida is certainly an interesting presentation in terms of whether it belongs squarely with all the other arayos in the Torah or does not. And again, we just pointed out two very basic distinctions in which it does not relate to all the other arayos in the Torah. And yet, in our discussion over here, it is in Parshas Achrimos, it's in Parshas Kedoshim, so does it fall under the category of Zona? So Rav says it does not. My Taima, and he gives the reason. Zona Ksiv, Vahalav Zonahi. Because the Torah talks about being a Zona, and this is not Zona. Now, what the Gemara means by that, it's not super clear. Meaning, this is not Zona. So, what you'll have to say something along the lines is something like this. Zona is talking about deviancy. Meaning, relations that a man is fundamentally not allowed to have. So, a man with his sister? No. Under no circumstances. A man with a married woman? Married to another man? Again, that is unequivocally no. But when it comes to Nida, so Nida is not as unequivocal. And to be as clear as possible, while she's a Nida, obviously, it's a prohibition. It's a Kari's prohibition. But of course, it's his wife at the same time. And when she's no longer a Nida, so not only are they allowed to have relations, they're supposed to have relations. It's a mitzvah to do so. So it doesn't fall under the category of Zona. It is not the kind of deviancy that all the other of the arayos have.
What can you say that since it's a transient prohibition, whereas others are permanent?
Yeah, well, I'm saying something along those lines.
Why Zona is defined in this limited term? Why like
limited?
Yeshua, each Zona, I mean.
No, I understand. Right. Correct. So let the Gemara go through it a little bit. The Gemara is going to go through a lot of the explanation and a lot of the svaros. Levi Amar Afilu Ishto Nida. Levi goes one step further. Look, Ishto Nida. She's one of the arayos. One of the arayos mentioned the Torah. So my time of Toeva Ksiv. Vaha Toeva. So the Gemara says, look, when it comes to the arayos in the Torah, so the at the end of Achrimos and Kedoshim, so the Torah says, don't engage in any of these Toevas. These are abominable acts. These are sexual immoral, but the Torah gives an adjective. The Torah describes it as a Toeva. Let's go back to the pasuk in Parshas Ki Tzeitze, the one pasuk that describes it, and the Torah says, "Lo savi eslan zorim mechir kel beis Hashem lokecha lechol neder ki so avas Hashem lokecha gam shneim." So here by zona, the Torah says the word toeva. So therefore, the linkage is that the toeva over here is linked to the toeva by the arayos, and since all the arayos fall under the umbrella of toeva, so that means that the definition of zona vis-a-vis this particular halacha is going to follow what is a toeva, what the Torah categorizes as toeva. By the way, that really is the answer to your question because of the word toeva. Okay, so toeva k'siv v'ha toeva hi. V'levi nami. So now the Gemara is going to go, what about Levi v'aksiv zona? Meaning the whole idea behind Rav that the wife is not included, ishtonida, is because the Torah is looking for something which is to be mizaneh, something which is deviant. And relations with one wife, while she's anida, albeit it's an isser, and it's a serious isser. It's an isser kares. But it doesn't fall under the category of zone. It's not deviancy. So amalacha, hayi zone velo zona. So the Gemara says, no, from that, the drasha is like this. It has to be zona as opposed to zone. Meaning the Torah clearly says that the definition of zona is when you are hiring her and not the opposite, not when she's hiring him. Meaning, if a woman were to hire a man for prostitution purposes, so that, although, again, it's immoral, we can put all the words we want to attach to it, of how bad it is. And it's bad. But in terms of filing it under the category of, is the animal that was used as payment going to be disqualified for the Mizbeach? The answer is no. Because the Torah says, for that, zona. It's where she's going to get paid. And that's what Levi learns from the word zona, and not what Rav is learning. The Rav, hayi zona velo zoneh. Minalei. So the Gemara says, now we know that Rav agrees with that. Where does he learn that from? So Nafkalei mid the Rebbe Ditanya, the Gemara quotes a Brisa, Rebbe Omer, Ein Esnan Aser Ella, Kol Esnan Habaslo Be'Avera. So anytime that the Esnan is coming about via Navera, Aval Esnan, Ishto Nida, but if a man is with his wife while she's a Nida. Now again, it's an Avera, but in other words, but still it's his wife at the same time. Vishenasla Schala Havkasa. Well, let's say he pays a woman, but he's not paying her for the services, he's just simply paying for her time. Now, I know that sounds like a legality. I know that. But in other words, the payment over here is basically saying, look, I know that your time is valuable to you. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to simply pay you for taking you away from your job. So this is what's called schar lahafka'a, a payment for just simply loss of time. Or shenasala be'esneno. Or let's say she pays him for prostitution. So mutarin. So the animal is mutter. Again, let's be as clear as possible. The mutter over here is just simply going on the status of the animal that was used as payment. All these activities are immoral activities. This is not kedushas yisrael. But in terms of what we're focusing on, that payment, is it going to have the status of an esnan, yes or no? And according to the Braisa of Rebbe, no, it's not going to have the status of esnan. How do I know that? So the Gemara says, look, nowhere do we see it explicitly, but certainly, there's an allusion in Tanakh, specifically in Sefer Yecheskel. The pasuk says, "Uvesitcha esnan veesnan lo nitan lach vatihi lehefech." The pasuk Yecheskel, the Navi Yecheskel, is giving tochacha to the Jewish people because he's telling the Jewish people, "Look, you're leaving God, and in the relationship between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the analogy is the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the husband, we're the wives, and generally speaking, so when the wife deviates, so that normally she gets paid to turn away from her husband." And the Navi saying to the Jewish people, you're like opposite. You're like paying to turn away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's vehepechu. It's just the opposite. It'd be like a woman paying a man for prostitution. That's opposite of what's normal. So that means that in prostitution, what's normal, of course, is a man pays a woman. If a woman's paying a man, that's hepech, meaning that's just simply, that's so abnormal, that's so the opposite of what normally happens, we can't view the payment as an esnan.
So how does that change the disgusting act? In other words, why isn't the animal, why can you use an animal for a carbon in that case?
Because for an animal to become, have the status of an esnan, the Torah gives very clear parameters. It's a strictly legal discussion in terms of what are the parameters of disqualifying the animal. And so it has to be a classic scenario of zona. So once we file under, once we understand what the classic scenario of zona is, so it's limited to that and only that. Even though all these other activities are simply immoral behaviors, nevertheless, it doesn't fall under the classic definition of zona.
Definition plus toeva. There are two things.
Well, you have to follow which position we're following. Meaning, if the machlok is between Rav and Levi, okay. Levi is the one who focuses on Toeva. Rav does not. Okay. So the right now in the Gemara, it's that point seems to be subject to machlokas. The Rav had Toeva my avile. Now Rav doesn't subscribe to Toeva as being the definer. So according to Rav, what does that mean? Because as far as he's concerned, he needs it in order to corroborate the position of Abaye. Meaning, as we're going to see in just a moment, there's going to be a machlokes between Abaye and Rava, again, in terms of definition parameters of Zona. And what we're going to be seeing together is that Rav is going to work in alignment with Abaye, which obviously is interesting because that part's true. Normally, we paskin like Rava over Abaye, and then it's going to be a little bit strange because then Rav is going to go with the position that is not the accepted position, but Amar Abaye, Zona, Ovedes Kochavim, Esnana Asar. So when it comes to a Zona who is a non-Jew, so that Esnan is going to be prohibited. My time, Uksiv Hacha Toeva, Uksiv Hasam, Kikol Asher Yaseh, Mikol Tov Esael. So the Abaye says the reason why the Zona is going to be a non-Jew in terms of the animal having the status of being an Esnan Zona is because the Torah, once again, links the Toeva. Toeva by Esnan Zona, Toeva by all the Arayas. Now, Malahalan Arayash in Kedushin Tov Simba, Chanam in Kedushin Tov Simba. What is the very definition of an erva? An erva where there's no tfisas kedushin. So too, the only time that the relation between a man and a prostitute and the resulting payment is going to have the status of an esnan zona is when the prostitute and the man had no opportunity, no eligibility for there to be tfisas kedushin. Now, tfisas kedushin means that there is no
marriage.
There's no marriage. The marriage just simply does not take place. V'koin sheba alaha ein loka alaha. And then when the Kohen has relations with her, there's no Malkus Mishum Zona. My time Amakra lo yichalo zaro. Because the Torah says that the Kohen having relations with the Zona would result in his children not having the status of a Kohen. Misha zaro miyuchachas acharav. Yatza avar eskochav dein zaro miyuchas acharav. But you see, when a Kohen, or for that matter, any Jewish man has relations with a non-Jewish woman, and they have a child, so the child has no yichus to the father. The child is non-Jewish and has simply no connection halachically to the father. So that means that now that according to Abaye, because of this toeva linkage, so that means that the only time that that an animal is going to have the status of an esnan zona is only when the prostitute herself is going to be a non-Jew. And again, it's linked to this toeva. Now, Zona Yisraelis, now according to Abaye, if the Zona is a Jew, Esnan HaMutter, the Esnan would be Mutter. So, Matam HaKedushin Tovsimba, because there's Tfisas Kedushin. And Kohen Shabala HaLokim Mishum Zona. And if a Kohen has relations with her, he's going to get Malkus under the prohibition of Zona. Matam HaHazar Miyuchas HaCharav, because there would be a Yichus, because there is lineage trackable to the father as opposed to when the woman is non-Jewish. So according to Abaye, admittedly, it's confusing. It's confusing according to Abaye. Because in terms of when there is Zona vis-a-vis animal getting status, there is Zona vis-a-vis a Kohen not allowed to be with a Zona. Let me make this point as clear as possible. A Kohen's not allowed to be with a Zona. All right, there you have it. I could not have said any clearer. Meaning the Torah prohibits a Kohen from being with a Grusha, a Chalala, and a Zona. Right? Three women that a Kohen is not allowed to be with. So, in terms of what the definition of a zona is, legabe, the isser of a Kohen being with a zona, so for that, it has to be a zona as a Jew. Why? Because for that, you need yichus. This is all according to Abaye. Vis-a-vis, when is the animal that was used as payments for services rendered going to have the status of a zona? That's when it's going to be the zona is a non-Jew. Why? Because of toeva. So that means, according to Abaye, it's a little bit confusing. But, in other words, it's confusing, but he has reasons behind his confusion. So vis-a-vis, what is going to have the status of an Esnan Zona? That the Zona has to be a non-Jew. When it comes to the status of a Kohen not being able to be with a woman, and it's punishable by Malkus if he's with that Zona, that has to be when the Zona is a Jewish woman. So a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish woman are both Zonos. It's just vis-a-vis the various halachas, it's going to be depending on which halacha we're talking about. That's all according to Abaye. Rava Amar, Echazev, Echazev, Esnan Asr, V'Kohen HaBa Alei HaLokim Mishum Zona. And according to Rava, a Zona is going to be a Zona vis-a-vis these two halachas, whether we're talking about Jewish Zona or non-Jewish Zona. It's going to be the same. Why? It's very simple. because we're going to teach each halacha and just simply transfer it over to the other halacha. My tami alfe mehadate, because we learn it one from the other. Mazoni Yisraelis belav avzona avodas kochav and belav. Just like the Torah prohibits a kohen from being with a Jewish zona, the Torah prohibits a kohen from being with a non-Jewish zona. Uma esnan zona avodas kochav maser, av esnan zona Yisraelis aser. And just like the a zona of a non-Jew, her payment is going to be, have the status of an Esnan zona, so too if the zona is a Jew. So that is all the halacha according to Rava. So according to Rava, we are learning one from the other. And that means that according to Rava, it's for, vis-a-vis the halacha of Esnan zona, the payment having the status, so it doesn't matter whether she's Jewish or not Jewish. In terms of the coin not being allowed to be with a zona, and him doing so would violate the Isser Torah of a Kohen not being with a Zona, doesn't matter whether it's a Jew or non-Jew. Okay, Meisvei. So now that we're here, so we have now, we have highlighted the position of Rav as opposed to Levi. We've highlighted the position of Abaye opposed to Rava. Abaye works in conjunction with Rav because of their usage of the word Toeva, and and how Toeva now becomes like a limitation. And that means, of course, then that Rava would work within the position of Levi. Mitzvah. Now the Gemara is going to challenge based on the following. The Braisa. Now here, the challenge is really simple because the Braisa is very clear. Echad zona v'ez kocham v'echad zona Yisraelis, that's not an aser. Whether the zona is a non-Jew or whether the zona is a Jew, the payment is going to be aser. Period. Ad kan divrei ha-Braisa. Now, this Braisa, it's actually as clear as possible. The Braisa is clearly supporting the position of Rava as opposed to Abaye. To Yufta da Abaye, now this Braisa posed a problem to Abaye. Now, we're going to do this as recommended by the Gemara. Meaning that the Gemara right now is going to be reading not the way it's presented in the Gemara, and basically it's a bit of an editor's confusion in terms of how the Gemara, what the next question should be, what the next answer should be, so forth and so on. And so I'm just going to follow the advisement of the Gemara in terms of how to read the Gemara. So it's going to get a little bit choppy, but I'll try to be as clear as possible in terms of how we're going to navigate. At this point in time now, we quoted the Braisa. The Braisa says that a payment of an Esnan zona is going to be prohibited, whether it's Jewish or whether it's not Jewish. It seems to be that this Braisa is a categoric refutation of the opinion of Abaye. Now drop down to the second to last line of the Gemara, where the Gemara now is going to be providing an answer to this question in defense of Abaye. So ki katani ha ba'arai shein kedushin tofsin ba. That Braisa was talking about where the woman in question, the zona in question, was an erva, where there was no tefisas kedushin. So the Gemara says, really, are you right about that? Vaktani seifa. Well, the end of the Braisa, we haven't seen this together, but now we are. Aman l'kohen gadol, gusha chulus l'kohen hedjot. So esnan aser. So the Braisa gives examples. Examples of prohibited relationships. Let's say a kohen gadol, so he hires as a zona and amana. Correct. Not the Kohen Gadol, which we're all going to be looking at as, hey, look, there's our role model. So, but the Kohen Gadol who hires the Amana as a Zona, or Grusha v'chalutza the Kohen Hedger, or Kohen Hedger hires either a Grusha or Chalutza for Znus, so it's not Aser, the Esnan would be Aser. Now, these examples that are given in the Braisa, are they Arayos examples? Are they examples where there's no Tfisus Kedushin? No. There is Tfisus Kedushin over here. And so therefore, the examples that are given over here is clearly not going to be a good defense of Abaye. Because Abaye wanted to say, well, the Braisa was talking about where it was an ervo that there was no Tfisus Kedushin. These examples, there is Tfisus Kedushin. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha. And if he does, the Kedushin takes effect. It takes place. So Vahahani Kedushin Tofsin Bahem. So the Gemara says, and we're now just going to continue to Lamed Amad Aleph, Hamani Rebbe Lazerhi. So the Gemara gives now an entirely different approach to the Braisa.
What is the section
next? I'm going to come back. The Gemara says, Rebbe Lazerhi. The Amra Panu Abba Panu Yishlol Shem Isha Sasa Zona. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what. In another defense of Abaye, here's what we'll say. We'll say that the author of the Braisa is Rebbe Lazer. Now, the Sheet of Rebbe Lazer, we see it throughout any time we have this discussion of the Arayos and the prohibited women. So there is a really interesting Shita Rebbe Lazer, a Shita which, by the way, we do not pass like, we do not follow. But again, we're just simply giving interpretation to the Braisa. And we're defending Abaye right now. So we'll say that the author of the Braisa is Rebbe Lazer. What's Rebbe Lazer's position? Really interesting. If a single man and a single woman, both Jewish, have relations with one another, but they're not interested in getting married, so she becomes a zona through that act. Meaning, according to Rebbe Lazar, any time a man and woman engage in relations, and it's not under the umbrella of kiddushin and marriage, so that by definition is a relations of znus. That transforms her immediately into being a zona. That means that according to Rebbe Lazar, he really takes the viewpoint that I highlighted at the beginning of Shir today. Remember, I said that one could look at zona as just simply an act of prostitution, the way we say it in English, the way we understand it in our concept of what prostitution is. That's basically Rebbe Lazar. Anytime the man and woman are having a transactional relationship where it's just over payment and money, so that by definition is being a zona. That's znus. And so that means that according to Rebbe Lazar, that would apply to any forbidden relationship, and it would even include the relationship between it's a single man, it's a single woman. They're not forbidden to one another. They're just not interested in getting married. That's also znus. So the Gemara says, oh, it's interesting. So you're telling me that that's the author of the Braisa. So I have a very simple question. If that's the author of the Braisa, so say the bigger Chiddush, meaning the Braisa was giving examples of a manuk to Kohen Gadol, grusha v'chalutz to Kohen Hedyot. Okay, those are good examples. But if the author is Rebbe Lazar, say even a better example, which would be a panu al panuya, a single man and single woman who are just not interested in getting married. That also would be znos. So e Rebbe Lazar my yir yamana nisne panuya amana. I'm sorry, nisne panuya. So give me the better chiddush. So the Gemara says amana itzurich sakadach kamina ho binyan avhu lo nitzuri kamash malan. So the Gemara says, well, even according to Rebbe Lazar, I'll tell you why the Braisa highlights on amana to a Kohen Gadol and grusha v'chalutza to a Kohen Hedyot. Because one could have made the following argument. You know, Rebbe Lazar does have a much broader definition of what a zona is. Anytime the man and the woman are not interested in being married and are just having relations, just for the pleasure of relations, so that's an act of znus. That's Rebbe Lazar. One could have made the argument, okay, but let's say the act is already prohibited. Maybe Rebbe Lazar will tell you that that prohibition substitutes for the iser znus. You could have thought that. What the Braisa wanted to clarify is, no, don't think that way. Meaning, even though there's already a pre-existing iser, i.e. Almana to a Kohen Gadol, grusha v'chalutz to a Kohen Hedyot. And don't say to me that just because there's an iser, it doesn't also make her a zona. That's not true. That also makes her a zona. That's the chiddush of the Braisa, according to Rebbe Lazar. Okay, so that was one defense of Abaye, the Braisa that was quoted, which clearly does not subscribe to his viewpoint, but that Braisa is going like Rebbe Lazar. Now what we'll do is we'll turn back, we'll go back to the previous Amud, all that Gemara that we skipped, now we're going to see it, and Amalcha Abaye. This is now going to be a second defense of Abaye, how to explain the Braisa, and meanwhile, still defend his position. Again, according to Abaye, the Isser of Zona, and the resulting payment having the status of Estan Zona, is only for a non-Jew, not for a Jew. I, the Braisa, so the Gemara says, Amalcha Abaye, Hamani, Rabbi Kiva, he. No, the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Kiva, Damran Kedushin Tovsin B'chai V'lavin. Rabbi Kiva Shita that we see throughout Shas is that even though the prohibition is only a negative prohibition, it's a lav, if the man and woman engage in this relationship, so there is not going to be Tfisas Kedushin. Now, we don't paskin like Rabbi Kiva, but the Rabbi Kiva Shita is that there's no Tfisas Kedushin even by a lav. So, v'hakamash malan d'chol zorna lo tafsi ba kedushin, domi da'amana, d'lo tafsi ba kedushin. And there will not be Tfisas Kedushin because you're violating a lav. And that means then that the resulting payment is going to be an Estan payment. So the Gemara says, now, as far as Rav is concerned, why did the Braisa go over the examples of Amana to a Kohen Gadol? Meaning, according to Rav, the only time that it is a Zona and the payment is going to be Znus payment is going to be both for Jew and non-Jew. So why would the Braisa give the examples of Amana and Kohen Gadol? So to that, the Gemara says, that's just to make an ancillary point, which is that in order for the status of the animal being a Esnan Zona, it had to have been clear that this was going to be prostitution for payment. And this excludes the position of Rebbe Lazar. Why? Because Rebbe Lazar says the following. In order for the act to be an act of znus, it doesn't have to be clarified that the payment is going to be for services. Because according to Rebbe Lazar, any time the act of relations is done outside of the context of marriage, that by definition is an act of znus. The payment is going to be a znus payment, even though it was not clarified. But the author of the Braisa doesn't subscribe to Rebbe Lazar, and the author of the Braisa says that no, that the only time that the payment is going to be considered a znus payment is only when she's already known to be a zona. Otherwise, it's not going to be considered a znus payment. So basically, to recap now.
For the first act, from the first act, machine by definition is not a zona.
According to the Gemara's defense. What we have now in the Gemara, we have now capped off the discussion of the Gemara vis-a-vis who is the Zona, legabe the halacha of the payment being status of a Nesan Zona. And in the Gemara, we have, basically amongst the Amorayim, a number of positions in terms of when it's a Zona. I'll start with Abai and Rava. Abai is of the position that only when she's a non-Jew, not when she's a Jew. Why? Because Abaye says that it's all going to be predicated on the idea of Tfisas Kedushin. If there is an opportunity for Tfisas Kedushin, so then the act and the payment is not going to have the status of Esna Zona. If there is no possibility of Tfisas Kedushin, so then the act by the payment is going to be considered Esna Zona. And he bases it on the Pasuk of Toeva and the connection of Toeva by the Arias, and Toeva mentioned here by Esnan Zona. Rava disagrees. Rava says no, that the act of Znus and the payment that is going to have the status of an Esnan Zona would be both for a Jewish prostitute and a non-Jewish prostitute. And even though there is an opportunity of Tfisas Kedushin, it still will result in the payment being an Esnan payment. That is according to the opinion of Rava. The Braisa that we quoted is a clear support of Rava's position, and the Gemara has given two different defenses of Abaye, but notwithstanding. Even with the two defenses of Abaye, the Gemara still favors the position of Rava.
So what's Rava's definition of Zona?
Legabe what?
In this context, what is the definition of Zona?
Zona is when a man is paying for prostitution.
No, whether the relationship is forbidden, not forbidden, whatever.
If the relationship, there has to be a prohibited relation nature to the relationship. Meaning, if it's a single man, it's a single woman. So according to Rava, that's not Zona.
So why is it called in Yeshua the lady is called Zona?
Because she is.
She's not forbidden.
She's not Jewish.
Right. Yet.
Okay. The Mishnah gives an example, one which is really difficult to understand. The master says to another master, here's my Eved Ivri, there's your Shivcha Kananis, so let's pay for the two of them to have relations. Okay. And the Mishnah has a machlokus, whether or not that's considered, the payment for that is considered an Esnan Zona, or it's not considered an Esnan Zona. What's the problem? The problem is very simple. And the Gemara articulates it very quickly. V'hashivcha le'eved mishra sharyeh. An Eved Ivri is allowed to marry Shivcha Kananis. Right. Now, there are a couple of details over here, and they're important details. But Torah permits it. An Eved Ivri is a Jew, full-fledged. Right? No, there is really not much to discuss in terms of his status of being a Jew. Now, it happens to be that because he's stolen, because he can't pay, so he's going to go into indentured servitude. That's true, but he's a Jew. Shivcha Kananis, on the other hand, is not a full-fledged Jew. Shivcha Kananis is owned, she is chattel, and yes, it's true that once she's owned by a Jew, she's going to be chayiv in all the mitzvahs that a woman is chayiv in. That part's true, but legabe, her status of being a Jew, she's not a Jewish woman. She cannot marry a Jewish man. And yet the Torah says that when an Eved Ivri goes into his indentured servitude, so the Torah allows for this Eved Ivri to marry a Shivcha Kananis. Now, as we're going to see in the Gemara,
he must be married.
As only under the circumstance where he already himself is married. If he is not himself married, so then he can't marry Shivcha Kananis. That is a proviso. Okay, fine. But still, fundamentally, the Eved Ivri is allowed to be with the Shivcha Kananis. And so if the masters now are talking about paying for it, okay, it's, I understand it's awkward, but you, it's a union which is permitted. So the Vashiv Chalev is Mishra Sharya, Amar Rav Huna, it's Lo Kamar. So the Gemara says, well, the master, he said his Eved Ivri, but he really meant himself. So the Gemara says, V'had Diktani Eved Lishna Ma'aya Kamar. He was just speaking euphemistically, but he really meant himself. So the Gemara says, Yehachi my time of the Rebbe, Amar Shmuel. I'm sorry, Yehachi my time of the Rebbe. Okay, so now he's talking about soliciting the services of Shiv Chakanais for himself. That's a prohibition. He's not allowed to marry her. There's no Tfisas Kedushin. So that means then that you are paying for a prohibited union.
Is,
so then,
he's married, that's a problem.
No, we're talking about the owner now. The Gemara is now talking about the owner.
If
so
the owner is married, cannot have...
He's only an Eved Ivri is allowed to marry Shivcha Kananis.
Eved Ivri,
a Jewish master cannot marry the Shivcha Kananis. No, no. So the Gemara says, so then if that's true, so then Rebbe who says it's okay, it's not okay. So Amar Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak la'olam avdi. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to go back to our original understanding that he really meant his Eved. V'chi ketani be'Eved Ivri. And so when he was talking about his Eved Ivri. So the Gemara says, okay, if he's talking about his Eved Ivri, so what's the reason behind the Chachamim? Shivchal Eved Ivri Mishasharya, so it's permitted. So So the Gemara says, we're talking about a case where he does not have a wife and children. So in a case where he does not have a wife and children, so then the master cannot pair him up with a Shivcha Kananis. And so therefore, it's going to be a prohibited union. Now, the Gemara doesn't fill in the blank, by the way, because that's a wonderful defense now of the Chachamim. Now, what if you're Rebbe? Because Rebbe said that the payment for that union is not going to have the status of Esna Zona, seemingly saying that such a union would be okay. Is he arguing with the Gemara and Kedushin that we just quoted? Hard to imagine. Meaning there doesn't seem to be another side to that position. So what then is Rebbe's counter-argument? So the Gemara stops short over here, and the Gemara doesn't take us through how Rebbe would argue with that position. Okay. All right, let's do a little bit more for this morning, and we'll finish up with just an introduction to Mechir Kalev. Ezu Mechir Kalev. Now, it's hard to intuitively understand the Mechir Kalev, meaning when it comes to the Esnan Zona, it's just intuitive, meaning a woman is acting in a manner in which she's selling herself. And so for that, the payment that she received, it's inappropriate to bring that to the Beis HaMikdash because look at how she arrived at this animal. Look what she had to do in order to get this animal. Behaving in a moral fashion, even without the discussion that we had for the last 2 days, we understand intuitively that's not something you bring to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, when it comes to Mechir Kelev, a little bit harder to understand. Now, I don't know how you personally feel about dogs. I like dogs. Not to the extent where I'm going to own one, but that's a private issue. That's a personal issue. But in other words, but I like them. And so, and not only that, how does the Torah feel about dogs? Torah is never never against dogs. In fact, just the opposite. That when we have an avail and we have a trefa, la kelev tishlechun oso. So you have animal that you have food that you can eat, so you give it to your dog. So the Torah tells us to take care of the dogs. So does the Torah, right? And we know in Yetzias Mitzrayim, no dog barked as we left. So it's hard to say that the Torah has a strong feeling one way or another about dogs. But meanwhile, here's the one place where it's pretty clear how the Torah feels about dogs, and that is it doesn't like dogs. But again, I'm not telling you how the Torah feels in total, just simply from here. A Mechir Kelev, if I took an animal which is eligible to be brought as a karbon, and I exchanged that animal for a dog, so that animal now has the status of being a Mechir Kelev and cannot be offered as a karbon. Now, if you ask me why, I don't have a good explanation, other than the Torah says so. But does it speak to the Torah's general feeling about a dog? I don't know.
There's no cover. It's like you're bringing
degrading.
Something that's
degrading.
Bring something like
Kelev. Okay.
The value of a Kelev.
Okay. I understand that, but if I exchange it for any, for anything else,
a mule.
It's hard to understand. Which it's the limitation that I have. It's hard to understand why specifically the Kelev as opposed to any other animal. Anyway, okay. Michir Kelev. So a barter between an animal and a dog, that animal now has this status of being Michir Kelev and cannot be offered as a carbon. And Ezo Michir Kelev, Hamel Chaver, Helech Tlazet, Tachas Kelev Zeh. Okay, so and it's very simple. It's a barter. My sheep for your dog, we barter. That now, that sheep, you, by the way, you could do whatever you want with that sheep. You could work it, you could shear it, you could shecht it, you can eat it. You could do whatever you like with that sheep. What you can't do with that sheep is you can't bring it as a carbon. That's your limitation.
It has to be direct exchange, right? If there's money in between, there's no problem.
Seemingly, you're right. V'chein shei shutfim shechalku echa natal asar v'echa tisha. V'kelev. Let's say there was a partnership. They dissolved the partnership. And one partner got 10 sheep, and the other partner got 9 sheep and a dog. So now, shekeneged akelev asar v'shima kelev mutter. So the one who got the 9 sheep and the dog, so all 9 of his sheep, perfect for a carbon. The one who got the 10 sheep, that partner, he can't bring any of his sheep. Now they're all going to be considered barter for the dog. Now the question which you're probably wondering is, why don't we just simply assign one dog to one of his sheep and then allow all the other sheep to be offered? The Gemara is going to ask that question. Now let's say I flipped it around, where it's the Esnan Kelev. Somebody did a transaction where he sold the service of his dog for sexually immoral behavior. So, or Mechir, I'm sorry, that's Esnan Kelev, or Mechir Zona. Or let's say what was bartered was the Zona was bartered. Now that's a little bit hard to put into terms exactly what that looks like and what that means. But basically, I took the verb of the Zona and applied it to the Kelev. And conversely, I took the verb of the Kelev and I applied it to the Zona. Hare Elu Mutarim, Shenemer Shlaim Velo Arba'a. So there, the Torah says that that's permitted. Because, again, we're not assigning any value. It is obviously the crudest of behaviors. If what you're doing is you're prostituting your dog for his services, for bestiality, it is as lewd as one can imagine. However, in terms of gaining the status of an Esnan Zona, the Torah is very clear and very limiting. It's only Esnan Zona. On top of all that, this sheep, which is an Esnan Zona, it got the status of an Esnan Zona. It has offspring. Offspring is mutter. Hein v'lo v'ladoseihem, because the Torah says them as opposed to the v'lados. Okay. And we'll pause over here tomorrow. We'll pick it up. And we are going to go over the... We're gonna go from the Gemara going forward in terms of a better understanding of Mechir Kelev, and hopefully tomorrow we'll finish the parak as well.